This tape is a production of All Roads Ministries, and it is, in essence, an unedited version of a talk given to the Knights of Columbus of Pleasant Valley, New York. I have been asked today to speak on the subject, defending the faith, and by this I mean, of course, defending Roman Catholicism. Now, I suppose that I should be a little more precise on that word, defending. Defending means to prevent damage from occurring to something. You can't defend the true faith because nothing can damage the truth, no matter what attacks it. And Roman Catholicism is the truth when it comes to revelation, which God intends for us humans to know while still on earth. And when we read the Gospels, we find Jesus reprimanding St. Peter for defending him when the soldiers arrived at the garden, because defense at that time was inappropriate. So what do I mean by defending the faith? What I mean is verification of that faith as correct, as true, and as in conformity with God's plan. Although those who attack God can do him no harm, they attack him nonetheless. So before we go any further, let me ask and answer the question, why defend the faith at all? Why bother? The answer is because the truth matters, and we humans have an obligation to defend truth. Always. Ah, there's that word again. Defend. So allow me to substitute the more acceptable alternative. We humans have an obligation to bear witness to the truth. We Christians have an obligation more than non-Christians. And we Catholics are the only ones who are in valid union with the truth and therefore can properly defend it. That is, bear witness to it. So now we are at the beginning. And if I slip again and use that word defend, please understand it as meaning to verify or confirm in the sense of bear witness. Understand that the verification of which I am speaking is an evangelization of truth. It is an education of others, bringing them to acknowledgement of fact. We all learn by our mistakes, and many of us remember most clearly from our school days and our school day testing, the questions which we answered incorrectly, the ones we got wrong. Therefore, when you verify our position, or one is our system, as true, you unavoidably confirm the opposite or opposing system as false. And once a person is shown that he is wrong, then he is free to learn what really is true. Learning can come from knowing a truth. That is the starting point of all knowledge. And you can teach others by showing them where they are wrong. Once the foundation of a mind, a sound mind, are firmly set into granite of truth, then that mind is free to learn, to grow, and to go to the God who is truth, to come closer to that God who we know as the God who is both God and man in the person of Jesus. Or, as our Lord said it, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So when you confirm our faith, you destroy the superstition and the bigotry which oppose it. You bring a man closer to God, and by bringing him closer to truth, that will stand you in your favor on Judgment Day. We, you and I, have this unqualified obligation to spread the truth and to make others be aware that they should be closer to God than they are. Now, as you know, I administrate an organization whose goal is to do this, that is, namely, All Roads Ministries. And ARM produces a series of audio cassettes which are designed to educate you on how to do exactly this task. And as they are available to you, and as one is entitled already defending the faith, I shall not repeat what is recorded on that tape. I do this for two very good reasons. Those of you who are sincerely interested in defending the faith will obtain that tape, or others which are related, such as Winning Back Souls, Proofs of Roman Catholicism, Apologetics, The Elements of Logic, etc. And then, for you, And it is to you sincere, Knights of Columbus, to whom this talk is addressed. This talk would be but a repetition, and therefore, to some degree, a waste of your time. And I would rather give an approach which I did not give in that cassette tape. So this talk shall deal with a slightly different approach. The second reason is that ARM finances itself by selling tapes. And as I do want you to buy that tape, and as you probably won't if you believe that you have already heard it, you will only buy it if I allude to it. In other words, you do not give away what you're trying to sell. Briefly, the other tape gives a technique whereby comparing the Roman Catholic system to another system, the Roman Catholic system is demonstrated as probably and possibly valid, whereas the other system is shown to be definitely false. This is done by comparison of individual characteristic doctrines, one for each system. But today, I would rather concentrate on the persons who attack Catholicism, or more correctly, on the motives and personalities of those who attacked Catholicism. No one ever, in the past, in the present, or in the future, has ever attacked Roman Catholicism, or has ever left the Roman Catholic Church, or has ever opposed its doctrines for a good reason. No one who knows about our faith has ever found a valid fault in it, a defect in doctrine, or an inconsistency in its teachings. If you do not know this, then you may do one of two things. One, take my word for it, or two, ask for and seek proof. Every honest person who has attacked Roman Catholicism has either become a Roman Catholic or has become dishonest. Either he has learned by his study that Roman Catholicism is true, or he has defied God upon learning that it is true by remaining outside of it, or by refusing to acknowledge its truth. Jesus said that he would not leave us as orphans, and a father teaches his sons the truth. When the sons do not learn, it is because the father does not know the truth, or because the son rejects it. Neither of these alternatives apply in the case of Roman Catholicism. With this in mind, let us examine why anyone holds to any position or statement as valid. This is a general background type of examination, and then we shall apply it to those who hold to positions which are anti-Catholic. There are only three reasons, and there cannot be a fourth, why anyone holds anything. And they are easy to remember, as they all begin with the letter P. The three reasons are principle, prejudice, pleasure. Principle has been rejected as an alternative for the anti-Catholic already. Principle is an unchanging means of judgment by which consistent values may properly be determined and evaluated. The key word here is unchanging. You will discover that no attack on Roman Catholicism is principled. Those who attack the papacy do it by saying that the Pope is too strong a dictator and too weak a leader. Those who attack the confessional state that it is a very uncomfortable, unnatural, awkward situation, and, at the same time, merely a psychological device to bring people consolation and comfort. You'll notice the inconsistencies in these attacks already. Most of the attacks on Roman Catholicism contain internal inconsistencies. I presume that we all know those who attack Roman Catholicism as changing too much and at the same time never changing at all. Or Roman Catholicism demands too high, too rigid a morality and yet allows sins to be forgiven too easily. Again, inconsistencies here. When the standards change, gentlemen, then there are no principles involved. And that leaves us with only prejudice or pleasure. Prejudice is the process by which a determination is made in advance of identification as to the value or lack of value of a person or institution. The prejudiced person will believe a Roman Catholic doctrine or advocate a Roman Catholic position until he discovers that it is a Roman Catholic position. Then he will oppose or reject it. Prejudice isn't always bad, certainly not in everyday life. Prejudging a large, growling dog to be a danger is only a matter of prejudice. The dog may, in fact, be friendly or a coward, but in that case, I'll remain prejudiced. The last reason a person may use is pleasure. Pleasure is any sensation which a human being enjoys and desires the repetition of it. Now, pleasure is the point where all discussion must and does end. Some philosophers would say it is where all discussions begin. The ultimate argument for which, or the ultimate statement, for which there is never any further explanation or elaboration is the following. I like it. You like vanilla ice cream, and I like chocolate. Why? Who knows? Only God. But we can go no further in human analysis. You like wine. I like beer. Okay? We have to leave it at that. There are those who receive pleasure from attacking the truth. Why? I don't know. Perhaps their own personal contracts with Lucifer arrange for them to receive some strange, twisted, demented kick when they oppose Lucifer's enemy. But these people do exist. Now, in defending the faith, your assignment, should you choose to accept it, I'd help you if you don't, is to determine which kind of person you are dealing with and arrange your response appropriately. Let us examine this situation and give a suggestion on how to handle the attacks on Catholicism from these different types. If a person is principled and attacks Roman Catholicism, then he is simply wrong. And the best thing to do with him is to show him his error by simple education. Allow me to digress here for a minute. What if you do not know where or how exactly the so-called principled fellow is wrong? Well, then you need to educate yourself. There are groups, not enough of them unfortunately, but there are groups, which provide proper Catholic education and information. ARM is the best one. Thomas A. Nelson Publishing of Rockville, Illinois is another. That organization has a large selection of books which are quite useful, and you can obtain their catalog certainly by writing them. But you personally have a great advantage. You have me. If you encounter some difficulty in handling a situation, then contact me. I shall travel any reasonable distance, and I guarantee that any problem, any difficulty which you have can be cleared up. Does that sound arrogant to you? It is not. Arrogance is characterized by unjustified claims. As Babe Ruth said, it ain't bragging if you can do it. I can do it. But here is a secret, gentlemen. So can you. How do I know this? Because I know the promises of Jesus which were made to us. He said that his followers would not be at a loss for words when they defend themselves for their faith. And it has worked with me on numerous occasions, the direct inspiration of God. And I have told others to have faith in God, and I have seen it work with others when they have defended Catholicism. Jesus doesn't mislead us. All you need is that faith which allows God to work within you. And if you have that, if you do that, you will not fail. Of course, study and knowledge help, but that is merely an exercise of the Christian virtue of prudence. Now, if you ever run into a problem, give me a call. But first, tell your opponent that you know someone who can resolve the difficulty. Then ask if he is willing to meet and talk with me. And if he does, God help him. And this brings us back to the main thrust of my talk. If your opponent, will meet with me, and if he will be willing to learn more, then you probably have an honest person. Mistaken? Yes. Ignorant? Yes. But honest. This person only needs education, and you should be able to educate him. You should know the basis of Christianity, the basic doctrines of Catholicism. You should know the doctrines of the Blessed Mother, of sin, of grace, of salvation, of tradition, of sacraments, of the saints, of purgatory. My tapes will do that for you if you are lacking in these areas. But so much for the honest, ignorant person. He is easy to deal with, and he is a potential convert. And some saints say that if you lead one person to God, or help lead one person to God, your place in heaven is assured. And St. James states in his epistle that such an action will compensate for many sins. as the approach which I'm talking about is different for the person who is prejudiced or pleasured, this is when you need to determine the nature of the attacks and the personality of the attacker. If the person learns, listens, and is leadable, then he was principled but was in error. If he refuses to change, then he is either prejudiced or pleasured. In that second situation, you must be more forceful, and you should use the following technique. I learned this technique from the works of Thomas Sowell, a professor at Stanford University, also a syndicated columnist. The technique is to listen to what is said, analyze the basic relationship involved, reducing it to its elements, reapply it in the form of a question, and see if consistency is there. It is very simple, and it is irrefutable when defending a valid position against an unjustified attack. Allow me to illustrate with one of the most common anti-Catholic attacks. Hey, look here. You Catholics claim to be Christians. Christ said to feed the poor. Yet the Vatican has all those rich artworks and all that gold and jewelry and stuff. If you guys were real Christians, then the Pope would sell all of that stuff and give the money to the poor. Therefore, you guys aren't real Christians. Ha ha. By the way, this argument is very common and is very stupid. I deal with the proper response to it in my tape, Stupid Questions, concerning Catholicism and the proper responses. We are not concerned here with the proper response in itself. We are concerned with using it as a means of illustrating analysis to determine the nature of the attacker. And from that point on, you would know the proper response. So let us analyze the statement. Very briefly, it is this. The Catholic Church owns something. It is wrong for this church to own something. Should any church own anything? Notice, what is really said is summarized in as few words as possible. This is reduced to a principle, and then a question is asked. So, now we ask the attacker, does your church own anything? And then you respond when he has given his answer. If in answer he says, no, his church doesn't own anything, then he's lying. Every church owns something. You identify him as a person that takes pleasure in attacking the truth. Tell him that. If he says, yes, my church owns something, then he criticizes the true church for doing what his false church does. This is pure prejudice. Point out to him that he's a bigot. If he says that he has no church, then point out to him that Jesus founded one, as you can find clearly in Matthew chapter 16 and Matthew chapter 18, and that if he is not a member of any church, then he has no right to criticize any church, as he does not take religion seriously, but he's merely a person who seeks pleasure by attacking the truth. If at this point your opponent points out that you are evading the question, agree with him. You are evading the question. Tell him that you are attempting to determine whether it is worthwhile to answer him. You do not, as Jesus commanded us not to, cast your pearls before swine, lest they be trampled underfoot. Tell him that you will answer him when his status is determined. Are you afraid that this might be offensive to him? Well, Jesus was constantly offensive. Remember, it was the mob, the crowd, the populace in general that wanted Jesus killed and Barabbas released. So when you imitate Jesus, and that is you give offense, for the purpose of bearing witness to the truth, do so and fear nothing. It is appropriate here to comment further on the prejudice pleasure type of attacker. Remember this. This person is never seeking the truth. He is instead always seeking error, nonsense, lies, and any type of untruth. This person knows that he is wrong. He is bothered by the fact that he is wrong. In fact, he's quite troubled by it. God bothers him. God causes an uneasiness in his soul. For God loves him too. This man is also a son of God, and God is not going to let him stay away without a fight. Jesus died for him, and for you,
and for me.
And that attacker, he's too important to be written off as a total loss. So God calls him at night when there's silence. He hears God's voice. And when he shouts his anti-Catholic slanders, he hears God's voice. When he drinks or eats, and in his rising up and his going down, he hears God's voice. He can't stop this nagging, this trouble, this torment. He can't put his hands over his ears to shut this voice of God. So he has two choices. He can accept God and become one of us, or he can reject God, deny God's existence, and run away. But still, he hears that voice. He can't run far enough. And he must reply, or he will, he believes, go mad. So he replies, and he says, "I don't know your ways. I don't know your truth. And no one else does. Everyone is in error. Everyone. Everyone admits it, except for the Catholics. And even they, they have artworks in Rome while people were starving in Scarsdale. Therefore, they can't be right, God. They mustn't be right, God. Everyone is wrong, God. So you can't hold me responsible for what I believe and what I do, can you, God? So stop my conscience from nagging me. Stop my conscience from tormenting me." That's his prayer. That is the soul and the personality of the anti-Catholic. Understand that when you deal with him, you are dealing with a person in pain. And like the person with the toothache, the dentist causes him pain to end his pain. You're the dentist to this man's toothache. Do not be gentle with these people and their pain now, so that perhaps they will not suffer eternal pain later, and so that perhaps you may also avoid eternal torment. For it looms there, hell, for all of us.
For all who will not respond to God's voice.
That is not exactly correct. We all respond in one way or another. Some say, "Go away." Some say, "Who are you?" Some say, "Where are you?" Some say, "Shut up!" Some say, "I do not hear you." But everyone responds. The proper response is, "Where do you want me to go, Lord?" As Isaiah said when the voice called him, "Ready, Lord." Well, back to the main subject. Your analysis technique allows you to determine the motivation of the attacker. For the prejudiced person, there is some hope. You may, by being perhaps confrontational, by being perhaps gentle, by being perhaps humorous, by being perhaps friendly, I don't know which, but one of those might help that prejudiced person. And I can't tell you in advance which one will work. I've tried all of these approaches. Most of the times, I fail. Sometimes, I succeed. And some of the situations haven't been resolved yet. And this brings me, in essence, to my last two summation points, or my last two points, at least, in this talk. When you try to verify the faith, that is, so-called defend the faith, there's two things you must do, or at least are very important for you to keep in mind. Number one, pray. Pray for yourself, for the church, for those you deal with, and for me too, thank you. But most of all, pray for yourself. The Blessed Mother has said that prayer for yourself is the best because it brings your mind to God. It makes you think of your own faults, your own sins, and brings repentance. And repentance, as Paul says in Romans, can lead to salvation. Pray for yourself that you will be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Pray and rely on Him. There isn't anything or anyone that you and He can't handle together. Pray. Ask for His help. Number two, don't be disappointed. You may fail when you attempt to defend the faith. St. Peter failed when he attempted to defend Jesus in the garden. But God's plan worked out to the best anyway. It always, always does. You can't change God's plan. All you can do is your best in it. That means if you do it well, you'll be rewarded with eternal salvation. If you don't,
You're not going to stop God's plan, but you won't be rewarded. Keep your hope up. Fight the good fight. If you lose, keep trying. Learn more. Try again. Whether you bring others into the church or not is important, but not essential. Whether you defend the faith correctly is important, but not essential. Whether you write books, give speeches, record tapes is important, but not essential. What is essential? And this is the only time winning or losing ever really matters. Is when you die, and when you stand in front of our Lord, to render an account. That's the only time. Bear that in mind when you defend the faith. Now, a brief summation. What I've dealt with in this talk is how to analyze where the attacks on Catholicism come from. And again, there are only three reasons a person attacks Catholicism. He has a mistaken set of principles, in which case you show him the errors of his principles. You educate him. He is prejudiced, in which case he may be ignorant, he may have heard lies, he may have made up lies, he may have misheard. Who knows exactly how he's come up with his prejudices? In that case, show him where he is prejudiced, and perhaps you can lead him away from his prejudice. And then there's the pleasurer, the man who's already given himself to the strange, perverted, twisted pleasures that Satan gives his followers, those who hate the truth and love evil. These, I don't know if you can really deal with. Perhaps you can do, as I have pointed out, point out to them the horrors of hell, the torments of it. Scare them. Literally, scare the hell out of them. You have a chance. But, as I was saying before, and as I'll use as my conclusion remark, the reason you defend the faith, the reason you bear witness to the truth, is because when you render an account to our Lord, you will be asked, did you defend the faith? Did you bear witness to my truth? Did you fight the good fight? Were you a faithful servant, or did you rebel against my commands? And the faithful servant will always defend his master's property, like a faithful watchdog will. And some of us are pit bulls and mastiffs and St. Bernards, massive, strong, frightening, with sharp teeth and tough muscles, with good eyesights and strong, sensitive noses to smell the evildoer when he comes. Some of us are three-legged dogs, blind, old, with arthritis and the mange, nearly deaf. It doesn't matter. God loves us all. He created all of us. There's room in his home for all. We can all sleep before his fireplace and at his pierced feet. And when the burglar comes, he may steal the property of our master. And even the smallest dog, however, or the oldest, or the weakest, will snap at that burglar's feet and bark in protest and defiance, even if he can't do anything else. Gentlemen, become the watchdogs of God, so that we may all rest forever in peace, rest, and love in the home of our master, when he calls us home from the hunt and the chase and the guard duty, when he calls us home to heaven. Thank you. Additional copies of this tape
or any other ARM product, or if you wish to simply contact us, you may do so by writing ARM 55 Palen, Palen Road, Hopewell Junction, New York, 12533. Thank you. God bless.